Us to share in this wonderful Bible study, this moment of digging and diving into His Word to receive the nuggets of His Word that we might be the better. And certainly I thank God for all of you and your prayers, and thank God for those of you that are tuned in this evening to hear the Word of God. We have been prayed for, and certainly we thank God for the participation of Deacon McLean, and certainly it's good to see Brother Aaron and Abram, and it's good that you are able to see me. I'm not able to see you, but you're able to see me. It's just good for us to be yet on earth another day. Matthew chapter 9, as we continue our study, tonight we will look at Jesus' authority to forgive sins. Jesus' authority to forgive sins. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Amen. I want to give you time to get there. Matthew chapter 9, verses 1 through 8. Amen. It reads this way: "And he entered into a ship and passed over, and came into his own city. And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed. And Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven. And behold, certain of the scribes said within themselves, This man blasphemeth. And Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts? For whether it is easier to say, Thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, Arise and walk? But that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. Then said he to the sick of the palsy, Arise, take up thy bed, and go into thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. And when the multitude saw it, they marveled, and glorified God, which had given such power unto men." The word of the Lord for the people of God. The word is blessed. May we be blessed by being hearers, doers of His holy word. Jesus' authority. Jesus' authority to forgive sin. Think about that. Jesus' authority to forgive sin. The narrative of Jesus' ministry and miracles continue. Prior to chapter 9, Jesus performed several miracles. According to Matthew chapter 8, Jesus healed a man of leprosy. Chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Jesus healed a centurion's servant. Chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. Jesus healed Peter's mother-in-law, chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. Jesus calmed the stormy sea, according to chapter 8, verses 23 through 27. And Jesus healed two demon-possessed men in Gadara, according to Matthew 8, verses 28 through 34. At the close of chapter 8, Jesus had crossed over to the location or city of Gadara, and there He was met by two demon-possessed men. And from last week's study, we understand that Jesus cast the demons out of the two men, and the demons went into a herd of swine, and the swine ran violently down a steep mountainside and were drowned in the sea. Afterwards, the town people bid Jesus to leave their coast, and Jesus granted their request. One thing I've discovered about Jesus is he will not force himself on a city, a country, or an individual. Let me say that again. He will not force himself. He will not break into the life of a person. According to Revelations 3:20, he stands at the door and he knocks. And the Bible says that if any man will hear his voice and open, that the knob of the door is on the inside that we have to open. Jesus will not force himself on anyone. He will not force himself on a city, or will he force himself on a country? He granted their request. He and his disciples entered into the boat and sailed back across the sea to his hometown, Capernaum. Capernaum was the home of Jesus' ministry, the hub, if you will. He would work out of Capernaum. He would do miracles there. Now, it wasn't his original hometown, because we understand from Scripture that his original hometown was Nazareth. But it was his place, of this place that he called home, this place where he settled. And according to Mark chapter 2, verse 1, Jesus and his disciples went into a house in Capernaum, and it was reported that he was in the house. I think the original text says that it was noise, that the word got out, that Jesus and his disciples were in the house. In chapter 9 of Mark, Matthew chapter 9, verse 2 says, "And behold, they brought to him a man sick of the palsy, lying on a bed." The word "they" refers to the four mentioned in Mark chapter 2, verse 3, that says four men carried the man. He was born of four. And we know the story that there was no room in the house, and they had to climb up on the roof and tear off the roof. And the Bible says that they lowered the man down into the presence of Jesus Christ. Now, they brought the sick, sinful man to Jesus. And bringing the man to Jesus is an indication of their faith in Jesus. Notice the text doesn't mention that they said anything about their faith. Their action says it all. They brought the man to Jesus simply because they believed in the power of Jesus to heal. Brothers and sisters, you can't recommend faith in Christ if you are faithless. You can't be a tool God used to draw people to Christ if you are faithless. You can't help sinful people unless you yourself have learned to hate sin, to overcome it by the power of faith, to live in the holy presence of Christ by faith, breathing the atmosphere of his love by faith. They brought They brought because they believed that Jesus had power to heal the sick man. Now, let us work this in our spirits. Let us massage this in our spirits, because what the four men did for the paralyzed man is what we should do for people. What they were to him is what we should be or become for many other people. In other words, we must bring many people to Christ. They won't seek, they must be sought. And the four men understood the blessedness of ministering to the man's need. As we think about people around us today, there are many needs that exist. People are hurting. People are sick. People are dying. People are in need of salvation. What are we to them? Are we like these four men? Are we giving of ourselves to them to bring them into the presence of the Lord, to carry them into the presence of the Lord? That's what they did. And they brought. Notice the man's condition. The man was paralyzed. Therefore, he could not get to Jesus on his own. He was physically powerless. Powerlessness in his legs kept him from walking to Jesus. Powerlessness in his arms kept him from dragging himself to Jesus. Powerlessness in his voice or speech kept him from crying out to Jesus. He had to be carried to Jesus. Four men brought him as he laid helpless on his bed. His condition was a pitiable condition. From reading the pericope, this man's condition was sin related. His condition was the consequence of sin. Sin carries a punishment, but happy is the man whose suffering brings him to Christ. I hear you saying, well, how can you say that this man's condition was the consequence of his sin? I'll get to it in just a minute. Just bear with me a while, and I'll get to it in just a minute. Verse 2 says, Jesus seeing their faith. He was brought, Jesus seeing their faith. He saw the faith of the paralyzed man and the faith of the four men who brought him. And I like to think of this as partnering in faith. Now, if you have the handout, please circle partnering in faith. Faith partnership is powerful when and where there is physical powerlessness. Let me say that again. Faith partnership is powerful when and where there is physical powerlessness. This is not the first time Jesus healed a man through partnership faith. In Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, Jesus healed the centurion's servant through partnership faith. The centurion sought Jesus for his servant, and Jesus admired his faith and healed his servant. I need faith partners. I don't need doubters around me. I need people who have developed faith, who have depth to their faith, who can believe God in spite of circumstances. I need people whose faith will cause them to do something. Not just talking faith, but faith that does, because James says faith without works is dead. I don't need dead faith people around me. I need people of living faith. I don't need people just with a conversation about faith. All right. I need people with faith conduct. Partnership in faith. We need a faith partnership. We need faith partners. We need faith partnership. We need faith partners. People believing in the power of Jesus to bring cheer, forgiveness, and healing where there is hurt, sickness, and sin. Jesus saw their faith and healed the man. I like that. I like that. Church, we have to be a people of faith. If we're going to serve the Lord and serve in this present age, we have to be people of faith. When the Lord looks at us, the question is, what does he see of our faith? He saw their faith. He saw the faith of the man, and he saw the faith of the four men who brought him. And he healed the man. Now, several things I want to make note of regarding Jesus' authority. Number one, we see his authority to forgive sin. Now, this is the gist of the text, or the point of the passage. Jesus has authority to forgive sin. Now, that's shout news. Because Jesus came to forgive sin. He came and died so that sins, our sins, would be forgiven. Now, verse 2 says, "Son," Jesus said to the man after he saw their face, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins be forgiven you," or "be forgiven thee." Now, forgiveness of sin is a much bigger deal than physical healing. Let me say that again. Forgiveness of sin is a much bigger deal than physical healing. Forgiveness of sin is a great work, and a work that only God can do. Only God can forgive sins. Now, Jesus was proving that he is not merely some special healer. He has authority, the authority of God, because he is God. See, only Jesus could declare by way of word, "My Father and I are one. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father." See, only Jesus could say that because he was one with God. He is one with God. So Jesus is absolutely God.
Amen. You're right.
So he has the authority of God to forgive sin because he is God. Every evil, every sickness, every disease, every sorrow, depression, anger, heartache, and headache is the result of sin in the world and in our hearts. Let me prove my posture. There was no death, no sickness, no hurt, no pain, no disease, no sorrow, no depression prior to original sin. So every person who suffers, suffers as a consequence of sin. The last time I checked the record, it says that we were conceived in sin, shapen in iniquity. Every last one of us are guilty of the same thing. We are guilty of S-I-N. That's why the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." And so We need Jesus. We need Jesus to heal us of the root cause, sin. Sin is the problem. Sin has been the cause of sickness from the fall. Man needs forgiveness and to be set free from the curse of sin. And we see it in this man. This man who was sick of the palsy, Jesus looked at him and said, "Your sins be forgiven." He acknowledged him as a sinner. And most of us are too proud for that. We want no dealings with being called sinners. But we are sinners saved by grace. This verse 2, applies to all of us. And if we are saved, we have heard Jesus say this to us, "Son, be of good cheer. Your sins have been forgiven thee."
Yes, sir.
He has the authority. He has the authority to free us from the curse of sin. But not only do we see the authority, his authority to forgive sin, we see his authority to search hearts. While Jesus was in conversation with the man, there were some people standing in the midst. The Bible declares them or identifies them as scribes. And they heard Jesus. And after they heard Jesus, they had a problem with what he said. And they didn't say anything out loud. But Jesus could hear their thoughts. He knew their thoughts. And he said to them, "Wherefore think ye evil in your hearts?" See, having our sins forgiven is the greatest of all miracles. When Jesus said to the man, it is the religious teachers who hit the roof. They had a problem. Now, the religious teachers knew that only God could forgive sin. Therefore, when Jesus said, "Your sins be forgiven you," they thought to themselves that Jesus was guilty of blasphemy. In other words, they said that he was speaking profanely, that he was disrespecting God. And see, to forgive sin is to call himself God. And they were absolutely right about only God can forgive sins. But they were not right about who Jesus is. God right before them, and they missed it. And listen, we can't be too critical on these men, because it happens to us too. We can be in a worship service, God right in the midst of us, and some of us are missing. God is moving amongst us, and some of us are still missing. We come and go just like we came. Nothing has changed, but God has been in the midst of us. But we've got hung up on something else and missed the message. They missed it. They missed the message of who Jesus really is. And the Bible says, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, revealed himself to them, because only God knows the heart. Oh my, let me give you several references. 1 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 9. "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. It says that God searches all hearts and understands all the imaginations of the thoughts. It is Psalm 7, sentence 9. Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish the just, for the righteous God trieth the heart and reins. Revelation 2, verse 23, and I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts. And I will give unto every one of you according to your works. Now, if you're reading Revelation chapter 2, verse 23, this is in red. So here it is again. Jesus reveals himself as God because he searches the heart. The word says only God can search the heart. And Jesus, he reveals his authority to search the heart. Jesus said to the scribes, why were you conjuring evilness in your heart? It is easier to say your sins are forgiven or to say arise and walk. Both are equally impossible for men, but both are equally possible for God. They miss God in Christ and Christ in God because they fail to see his authority to forgive sin, his authority to search the hearts, to search hearts, and his authority, this is the last thing, to heal. I like verses 6 and 7. Verses 6 and 7 of chapter 9 says, but that ye may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sin, then said he to the sick of the palsy, arise, take up thy bed, and go unto thine house. And he arose and departed to his house. Now to say to the man that he was healed of palsy or paralysis, and yet he was still lying on the bed, would have indicated that Jesus failed. But Jesus said, look at him in verse 6, get up, take up, and go home. That's what he said. He said, get up, take up, and go home. Authority. He said it authoritatively. Get up, take up, and go home. And in verse 7, the man got up, took up, and went home. And verse 6 says that this was done to prove to them that Jesus has power to forgive sin. Now, the healing was done so that they may know the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. The primary purpose of the healing was not the restoration of the man's physical health. The purpose, the primary purpose of the miracle was to reveal to the man and the people the power of Jesus to forgive sin, to save. That's what we want to know. That's what we should seek after. That knowing that he has power to save. All miracles are done to reveal that Jesus has power to save. Think about the miracles. The miracles were done to save them from something, to reveal his power, to pull them out of predicaments that they could not pull themselves out of. Power to save. Now, save simply means deliver, to deliver, to set free. So Jesus used physical healing to prove his authority to forgive. Wow. I like this. There are messages in the miracles. Notice what happened. After Jesus wrought the miracle, the man got up, took up, went home. It fascinated the crowd. And the Bible says they glorify God for giving such power unto men. The people recognized the power and authority that only come from God. Listen, that's what God wants to use us for. He wants to use us to reveal to people his power. That's why we should share our testimonies and let people know where God has brought us from and of the amazing things that God is doing in our lives now, so that the power of God can be recognized. My God, when they saw the power, they glorified God for giving such power unto men. They recognized the power and authority. And when the religious teachers could not recognize Jesus as God, the people recognized him. They recognized that Jesus was given power from God because he is God. Listen, I'll close with this. The people you most expect to know may not know. And the people you least expect to know may know. The religious teachers missed the message. And the common people got the message. And they rejoice. They glorify God for giving such power unto men. Brothers and sisters, Jesus has power to save. And he demonstrated his power to save, his power to forgive sin in this miracle. Remember this, all miracles are demonstrations of God's power to save us from something. Let me kind of go back over the miracle so you can see what I'm saying. In chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, he saved a man from leprosy, a dreadful disease. In chapter 8, verses 5 through 13, he saved a centurion servant of a dreadful disease called palsy. He healed Peter's mother-in-law in chapter 8, verses 14 through 17. She was delivered from a fever. Chapter 8, verses 23 through 27, Jesus healed his disciples, or he delivered his disciples from a deadly storm. They said, "Lord, care that we perish." And in chapter 8, verses 28 through 34, he healed two demon-possessed men from demons. See? Every miracle was done to demonstrate his power to deliver us from issues and circumstances and situations, spirits, diseases, to deliver us. That's what we reveal. That's what is revealed to us that he has power to save. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that your word be as a seed planted in our life, that it would germinate, bring forth fruit. Help us, O Father, to be as the four men, people of faith, faith that has partnership, and faith that's alive, that has conduct. Help us to draw people to you, because we know in our hearts that people need you. They need you to be saved. They need you to be healed. Father, our land needs you. We have a pandemic that's in the land, but that's not the only dreadful and deadly disease or virus that's in the land. There are many more. And Father, we need you to heal us, to heal the land. We know your word. We turn from our wickedness. We humble ourselves. We pray, and we seek your face. And we know that you are healing the land. Thank you for keeping us. Lord, I can shout because you have kept, you are keeping us. And we pray that your continued blessings, your continued security, your continued strength, your continued supplying our every need be upon us. Watch over the bereaved, the sick. You did it then, and you are doing it now. In Jesus' name, amen.